afternoon. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciated that presentation because it just brought back so many things that we have in common. We had a study called Each One Teach One also in the African American community. And so many of the things that you've done really do speak to the needs of the communities now. So I would like to say that I'm going to talk this afternoon about Health Street, which is our community-based project. It's research helping people. And I'm going to talk a little bit about just one of the segments of our project, but I want to give you an overview of what it is. So I'd like to thank my co-authors, and I want to thank all the students who are here with me from our Department of Epidemiology. So these are the community health workers, and you could see this looks like it could be south side of Chicago as well. Health Street is a concept, and it's also a place. So the concept is where people are going out into the community, but they come back as a magnet to a structure where we can do town hall meetings and get people together, and we can talk to people indoors as well. So we work every day to reduce disparities in healthcare and disparities in research. So we're linking people all the time to medical and social services and opportunities to participate in research. And in doing so, we feel that we're improving the relationships between community members, healthcare providers, organizations, and researchers. These are my disclosures. I don't have any disclosures except for some NIH research and some other research. So, in the beginning, this was Health Street's logo. And we started in St. Louis, and in the audience is the Commissioner of Health of St. Louis, Melba Moore. And I appreciate her for being here. I know that there's a lot going on in the state of Missouri, and especially in St. Louis, and our thoughts are with you. So it's a great partnership with the Department of Health and Health Street. And I was at Washington University at the time, and we called it Health Street because we thought we didn't want to do a mobile van. We wanted to do a place with community health outreach workers. So the initiative began in 1989. And it was this partnership, and it was really to provide interventions and messages to out-of-treatment community members for a particular project with the National Institute on Drug Abuse. We were concerned about what was happening in the area with HIV, and we wanted to teach people about how to use syringes more healthily or to stop using syringes, the injection drug users. We wanted to keep drug users in treatment, and we wanted to spread the word about HIV. So it started as a National Institute on Drug Abuse emphasis. Then over the years, it morphed, and so it's been named Health Street all throughout, and it connotes a place for health with people who are out of treatment. And it utilizes community health workers and reaches people in the community who are traditionally excluded from studies. And then in 2006, we were asked if we would scale up Health Street so that it wouldn't just be for the drug abusers or the heavy drinker. It would be for anybody with any condition, any chronic illness, anybody that we wanted to reach in the city of St. Louis. And it was part of the Clinical and Translational Science Award of the NIH, which is happening at 62 different institutions around the country. So as a department of psychiatry at the time, we were heavily involved in trying to help with this participant community engagement required part of the CTSA. Most projects then in the community or with organizations are really focused on health professionals, people in care, but we forget about the community at large. And so more than 80,000 clinical trials are conducted every year in the United States, but less than 2% of the people really participate. And we know that women are underrepresented, racial and ethnic minorities are underrepresented, older adults and those people in rural areas are underrepresented. So what we're seeing is the tip of the iceberg, not all of the iceberg. So Health Street was going on all this time from 89 to 2010, and then in 2011 I was recruited to the University of Florida to chair the Department of Epidemiology. And we started Health Street there, and we are now in Gainesville, and we're also in Jacksonville on the Edward Waters College campus, the first historically black college in the state of Florida. So our mission is to reduce disparities in healthcare and research, And we do this with four aims. We have an assessment aim to assess the conditions, problems, needs, concerns from people in the community themselves, to link people up to medical and social services and opportunities to be in research based on their needs. And we have an education aim to engage in bidirectional, health-promoting communication with and for the community, and a community aim to build trust. And we have this honeycomb model here, where you see that the community health worker is really the backbone. And they do assessments with people conducting assessments in community. They do all the referrals, and in the purple in the middle is really inspired by the community, and the red at the bottom is showing that we're trying to improve the health of the community. Our educational aim is interesting as well, because we want to disseminate the findings that people get from different studies. And so we're not just focused on one particular disease. We're focused on every single condition that people might have, so we can link them to services and link them to those opportunities for research. And so we have a community town hall approach called Our Community, Our Health. And we get people together quarterly, and we give them information about findings that researchers have, and they ask questions of us. And that way we're really connecting back to community, and we can hear what their concerns are and what they would like us to focus on. So in terms of our assessment aim, so while we're out at the bus stops and at community centers and at the barbershops and parks and churches, fitness centers and every other place, we're talking to people and we're just stopping them and saying, hey, we're from the University of Florida. We'd like to talk to you for a few minutes. We'd like to ask you some questions. You have a few minutes for us. It takes about 15 to 20 minutes to go through a 4 or 5 page assessment. And we ask people about their perceptions about research. We ask them about their concerns. We ask them about if they've ever been in research, and we have a lot of other questions, but some of the things that we really do get to focus on then are food insecurity, as you talked about, and if they're interested in a program like Head Start. We get all the social determinants of health that we can possibly think of so that we can really help people in their pursuit of services and medical services and social services. We find out about their medical homes, and if they don't have a medical home or insurance, we'd like to link them to a medical home. We do a head-to-toe assessment. Dental health is a big concern of the people that we see, as well as HIV/AIDS. They are concerned about that, and mental health and other issues. We ask about their substance use histories, the medications that they're on, and their smoking history. So, how have we done? Well, since we moved to Florida, we have made contact with almost 7,000 people. And we have done an informed consent with a health intake on 5,296 people. And then we do the navigations to studies, and we keep track of all of our contacts and everything that we're talking about with the people that are in our project. We call them Health Street members, and of the 5,296 members that we have, you can see that most of them are from Gainesville, because we just started in Jacksonville in 2013. Over half of the sample is female, and 62% are African American, with 12% who are racial ethnic minorities. So we have a very diverse population. Over half have never been married, 78% have more than 12 years of education. Only 35% of the population are employed, 46% are food insecure, and a significant group of people have no doctor within the past 6 months and no physical within the past 12 months. So we have opportunities, and things that we'd like to help people with in terms of referrals to services. So how effective are we? Well, we keep these statistics so we can see how we're doing in the field. And our recruitment yield is almost 80%. And our navigation yield, we're able to navigate almost 50% of the people to an opportunity to participate in research if they're interested. And then our adjusted enrollment yield is very high. About 40% of the people that we are navigating to a study are actually getting into a study. And if you go to a doctor's office and you're a woman with breast cancer and your own doctor asks you if you'd like to be in a study, the rate of enrollment is about 12 to 13%. So in the community, with community health workers, we're able to really help people become interested and give them a voice in research. And they're very pleased. It could be any kind of a research, from one survey to 12 months or to 6 weeks. And it's very interesting for them, and they feel that they've really done something and helped something and helped someone. And it's a very interesting navigation process. So in terms of services, what we want to talk about today is linking people based on their needs and concerns. How did we do in terms of getting people into medical and social services? And I had never heard about the power of the pad, so I think that's very interesting too. We have a pad, a referral form pad, where we write down all the referrals that we would like to give people, because the community health worker is like a computer. He or she remembers all the things that the people have said. They then go to their binders, because our we don't have the iPad working yet with all of our linkages back to the systems, but we have the binder that has all of our services and medical and social services, and also the studies that we have. So they kind of remember all the inclusion and exclusion criteria, and they help to link people right in the field to the studies. So we give them a copy of their voucher, and we bring one back so that we can record all of the information. 30 days later, we have someone in office, another community health worker, who calls up the participant and asks them, were you able to obtain those services that we gave you in the last 30 days? And lists the services that we gave them and that we linked them to. And then we also ask them about self-referrals. Have you used any other services for your physical, mental, or emotional health? Now, 30 days is not very long, so it doesn't really give you much of an opportunity, because you know yourself, when your doctor asks you to go get a blood draw or go to the doctor or do another kind of referral, how long it takes. It takes quite a bit of time, and people have barriers, and we set up barriers for people that it's very difficult for people to get to. So we do help with transportation, we do help with other barriers, but it does take longer than 30 days. And these are some of the services we refer people to. Everything from vision checks to senior service referrals, to housing, food assistance, dental, sexual and reproductive health, mental health, substance use, as well as legal help. We help people find jobs. We hook them up to the computer, and we help them with their resume, as well as we have a clothes closet, so we can help. If a woman would like to go for an interview, we help her give her an outfit that she might be able to wear. And so we have the clothes closet and the toiletry closet as well. So 37% haven't seen a physician, so we're linking them to physicians. 46% are food insecure, we're linking them to a food pantry. 40% don't have insurance, so we're helping with the Affordable Care Act, the marketplace. We're trying to help with smoking cessation. Almost half of the people are reporting using marijuana in the past 30 days. Over a third have reported a mental illness, and 15% are reporting dental problems. So we have a College of Dentistry at University of Florida, so we're also helping to link our dentists to the community. So in terms of our utilization and satisfaction of obtaining health services, of those participants who completed their 30-day follow-up, who reached the 30-day follow-up, 73% were given a referral, but only 13% used them at the 30-day follow-up. So 87% of the people had not used a service in the 30 days. So that's a challenge for us to do a couple of things. Number one, find out how we can do better with getting people into services, and also perhaps lengthening the time of follow-up so we can see if we've been able to make a difference over time. But 92% of those people were satisfied with the services that they obtained. What are the referrals that we gave? We had food assistance, we had dental care, medical care, social services, employment, the mobile clinic, and all the others. And then for the others, we have energy assistance, drug and alcohol treatment, disability services, and STD counseling. So most people had one referral. Some people had two. Very few had three or more. So the reasons for them not obtaining a service were that they forgot, or they weren't being called back. There were structural barriers. They didn't have time. An agency-related barrier. Maybe people weren't open when they wanted to come. And then some of the people did have an upcoming appointment. So the implications for this are that Health Street can be an engaging effort to get the community involved, and we can link services and link people to relevant opportunities to participate in research, because there's more people participating in research than there are getting their services after 30 days. And so when people are getting those, they're satisfied. 30 days might be too soon, so we're going with a 60-day follow-up as well. And we are trying to address the barriers through engaging people in different ways. 65% of the people we talk to say that they text. So we are starting to think about our texting capabilities and texting people about reminding them to go to their services. So improvements, we want to do something to help people not forget. And making it a priority for people, giving out quality referrals to people who need them. So our current direction is really the 60 days. And then in conclusion, we really love what we're doing in Florida, in Jacksonville, and in Gainesville. We're going to be moving down to Miami. And we're really giving voice to everyone, improving parity in research, providing these needed referrals and services. We feel like we're contributing to the science of community-engaged work through our publications, and we're teaching our professional community internships, practicum volunteers, because we do have volunteers from all the different academic health center colleges who work at Health Street. We're building a research capacity, as you were talking about, and we're transforming the culture at the sites with community health workers. And all of that, we're hoping, is building trust in our community. So I want to thank you for the opportunity, and thank all of our community and our Health Street team, our partners, our volunteers, and our students. Thank you.